any conversation about eradicating food insecurity in the United States really has to, in my opinion, begin and end with SNAP.
That's Craig Gunderson, a professor from the University of Illinois. And his opinion counts. He's been studying food insecurity and SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, for more than 2 decades. Food security experts in Alaska say the same thing. So let's start talking. This is Alaska Public Media's Solutions Desk, a look at what's making Alaska communities stronger. I'm Ann Hillman. This month, we're looking at solutions for hunger. Food insecurity is when people don't have enough to eat. They skip meals or forgo other necessities to buy food. It affects about 1 in 7 Alaskans and can cause chronic diseases, depression, anemia, obesity. But Gunderson says SNAP is the most effective and efficient way to solve that problem nationwide.
Again and again, SNAP has been proven to lead to reductions in food insecurity. So by having SNAP go to these families, there's at least reductions in food insecurity and therefore a reduction in negative health outcomes.
SNAP, formerly called food stamps, first started during the Great Depression. It resurfaced again in the 1960s when the Kennedy administration saw that some Americans were desperately hungry. But the program is constantly under threat because people think it's riddled with fraud. It's not. We'll get into that. The idea is simple. Give money to people who need it so they can buy food. Jen Sundquist used to rely on food stamps. 3 years ago, she got divorced and went from being a stay-at-home parent of 3 to being a single mom with no income. She quickly got a full-time job at a preschool.
And even though I was one of the top people and I was getting paid more than almost anybody else there, I still needed food stamps and daycare assistance to make it.
Sundquist was a pretty typical SNAP participant. She was part of a family with children, just like 75% of the 82,000 Alaskans who used the program in 2016. She shared her story as she stood on the beach of the Kasilof River. She started dip netting there after her divorce so she could stock up on salmon for the year. $650 per month in food stamps helped, but it wasn't going to get her fresh fish for 4. She said she also stretched the money by shopping sales, buying frozen vegetables instead of fresh, and purchasing bags of flour to make her own bread.
It's definitely time-consuming. So it's like you weigh the cost and the benefit, honestly.
The average benefit for each person who uses the program in Alaska is only $2 per meal. But not everyone who is food insecure qualifies for SNAP. Elizabeth Hauser says she and her husband applied, but he made $1 over the income limit. She can't work because of a disability. As she sits in line at a food pantry, she explains they live paycheck to paycheck.
I got to make sure that we have a roof over the head. That's the first thing, so make sure the rent is paid. And then if there's anything left, it's the bills. And then it's putting gas in the car so we can go to these, and then it's food.
She waits nearly 3 hours for a small box of food, grateful for whatever she can get. If SNAP expanded its income limits, Hauser would be eligible. But some political leaders, including President Trump, would rather cut the program. Gunderson says that's because there are many misconceptions about SNAP. One is that participants are wasting the benefits on expensive foods or soda, but
when we look at what SNAP participants purchase, it's roughly the same as what non-SNAP recipients purchase.
No better or worse nutrition-wise, he says. Another common myth is that people sell benefits or trade them in for cash. And to be fair, that idea is based on history. Food stamp trafficking was rampant in the 1970s and 80s. One Time magazine article from 1982 reports that federal agents were able to buy guns, drugs, and houses with food stamp coupons. But that is no longer the case. Now, only 1% of food stamps are used illegally. That's mostly because of a change in technology. Instead of receiving paper coupons, SNAP benefits are issued on cards that require a PIN number. And it's hard for people to fraudulently apply for the program, too, thanks to the Fraud Control Unit at the state's Division of Public Assistance.
Fraud is intentionally making false statements, misrepresenting facts or situations to get benefits a person is not eligible to receive.
That's one of the unit's public service announcements. Only 3% of SNAP applicants in the state are found guilty of fraud. Sundquist, the single mom, knows a lot about the misconceptions and stigmas associated with SNAP. When she used the program, she never told anyone because people around her looked down on it so much.
I think that the general population has this mentality of like, well, you should just work harder. Pull yourself up by those bootstraps. I don't think they understand that a lot of people that are on food stamps have full-time jobs. They're already hardworking Americans. I mean, they're just having a hard time making ends meet.
She's right. Nearly 40% of participants are in families that work. About a quarter are in families with people who are elderly or have disabilities. She says she didn't want to rely on programs like SNAP, but she had to. They were her life raft. When she finally got a better paying job and knew she could provide more for her kids, she says she started tearing up as she signed the paperwork.
And the lady at the HR was like, are you okay? And I was like, you don't know what this means to me. And she was like, I was a single mom too. I do know what it means to you.
There is one problem with SNAP that's pretty specific to parts of rural Alaska. SNAP relies on existing food distribution chains, like stores, and is only now being piloted with online retailers in a few states. So what do you do if you live in an area with limited access to places that sell food? There's a solution for that. Find out next time on The Solutions Desk. I'm Ann Hillman. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and NPR One. And you can join the conversation by texting HELLO to 907-885-6055. Thanks for listening.